It was in the spring. We met each other, and by chance, a secret was sung. It's been 5 years we've been together, and our love, how big it's grown.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Rocky Mountain Oyster Band reunites for this weekend's Sioux River Folk Festival. The 38th annual Sioux River Folk Festival is Friday through Sunday at Newton Hills State Park near Canton. They have some other events this weekend as well that we'll talk about. We're joined now in the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls by band members Tim Coates, Tom Schaefer, and John
Donahoe.
I forgot. You just told me.
I knew that was going to happen. It always does.
2 seconds ago, you told me, and then I blanked it. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right. What did we just listen to? We were talking about the 1983 performance with the Dakota String Quartet at St. Michael Parish in Sioux Falls. What can you tell me about that last song?
That was a song that's actually from a band out of Colorado called Hot Rise, but it's called The Sweetest Song. And that's
man of a few words.
Yes,
we will be doing that song Friday night at the concert.
Played it last night.
Yeah, we played it last night.
How long has it been since you played together?
18 years, I think.
18 years. So then, is it just like riding a bike? You get back in there, and
it was pretty smooth last night.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's a little couple places where we crashed and burned, but we got those fixed.
All right, you started in the late 70s. Were all of you together at that time in the 70s? Yeah. How did you come together and sort of evolve over the ages?
Tom and I first met each other with another man, Mark Kreitzer. Mm-hmm. And we thought, oh, this sounds pretty good. And so then Mark asked us to join the existing Rocky Mountain Oyster Band. And we played for a while. We had some personnel shifts. It was when Mark left that we were without a banjo player, and John had come to town. John's originally from Sioux Falls, but he'd moved back, and we asked John if he would join us. And so then we ended up with the lineup essentially that we have right now, which is Neil Isaacson on bass, Tom and John, and Charlie Smith, who is actually one of the original members of the band. And so that's kind of how we all got together.
All right, and folk music at the time versus playing folk music. Well, we say folk music instruments, but you kind of expand that as well.
Yeah, the band is probably, we used bluegrass instruments.
Bluegrass instruments, that's what I meant. Thank you. A Folk River Festival is where I'm getting confused here.
That includes the traditional bluegrass saxophone, right?
Yes, except now we've entered John studied saxophone, so we're adding the sax now. But we were pretty much an eclectic band. When we were together, everyone kind of had equal inputs on what to play, and everyone in the band had different interests. And so we brought Irish music, old-time music, swing music, and lots of originals. John and wrote a lot of original banjo tunes, and Tim wrote a bunch of songs, Charlie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody kind of wrote songs. You even wrote a couple, Schaefer. Ryan's Romp amazing. Comes to mind.
It's amazing.
What was the scene like then?
Oh, Sioux Falls was fun. Yeah, Sioux Falls was fun. We used to, our hangout was kind of the Stockman's Bar at the time, which is now Fernson, I believe. Is that
right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we would play Stockman's quite often, and it was really cool because actually guys like Mark Cranny and Boyd Bristow and those guys that weren't bluegrass pickers, they would come down and hang out because we had huge crowds coming in there, and we were having a party. They put some chicken wire up so the beer bottles wouldn't hit us.
It was a new concept.
Literally or figuratively?
I think at one time they did have some chicken wire, didn't they?
Yeah, I've played at those kind of places.
CJ Stockman's, you don't really hear that talked about much anymore. You hear a lot of love thrown out for the Pomp Room. What was CJ's like back then?
Well, it was just called the Stockman's, I think.
Yeah,
but it was a dive bar right by the tracks, but full of smoke and Chislet grease smell. But it was packed every time we played, and it was... everybody was young, and and we were all discovering different music and
different music, different girls, different kinds of beer.
I was married.
Oh, you were married back then?
For the record.
God. Yeah. I waited like another
Tom
20 years.
Tom Schaefer was married.
Yes. The same woman right now.
Yeah, she's listening, yes. And she appreciates that little comment. How about the Folk Festival? You were there the first when it first launched.
Yeah. Yeah, the there was an event that the people in Canton put on in March of 1980, which was a fiddle event, and we all played at it. And it was in a senior center. Yeah, I'm kind of bassy, aren't I? But Gaynor Johnson and Bill Peterson and those guys decided that they came up with the idea to try to do an outside festival after this thing, you know. So they actually pulled it off, and the first Sioux River Folk Festival happened in August of 1980, and we played.
Was that at Newton Hills then?
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was in down by the river.
It was down by the river, and one of the interesting things that those guys did is that Canton used to have a Chautauqua Park, and it had been just littered with all sorts of old cars and garbage, and those guys went and got that all cleared out so that the first couple of folk festivals actually occurred where the Chautauqua gatherings used to be in Canton. And they've always kind of been historic preservationists. They're still involved in history buildings down in Canton. So it was a neat place, but I think then the river stated to everybody why the Chautauqua was abandoned, because it flooded.
Did you think it would last, the Folk Festival? Would it be, I mean, did you know right then, like, this is what we need in East River, Southeast South Dakota? Or are you sort of surprised that
Never dreamed it would last 38 years and we'd still be playing at it.
And I think it lasted because it appears to me the dedication of Gaynor and Bill Peterson and probably several others, I can't remember who they are, but those guys are still involved and they still love it. And they were all there last night while we were rehearsing. And it's amazing to me that I even thought to myself, my God, like 35, 40 years later, these guys are still doing this.
And Greg Schmitz, of course, is the president. But a lot of volunteers, you know, it's a lot of free labor that's kept it going, but love of the music.
We're going to hear a little more music here, and this, again, is from the 1983 performance with the Dakota String Quartet at St. Michael's Parish. Here's a little bit from Rocky Mountain Oysters. An odd pairing, the string quartet and you guys. How so, and how did you make it work?
Well, I would say it was an odd pairing because never shall bluegrass and legit music meet. In fact, I think that was the term they used, legit, and which makes, of course, bluegrass music illegitimate. But it's just the fiddle is Tom's our fiddle player, and the fiddle is played so differently than a classical violin, and you could hear it at the beginning of that, the very sweet, sort of straight classical sound. And then when we play, it's just kind of hell on wheels. We just kind of go for it.
Okay, what does that offer, though? Why is that important to sort of have that music accessible? I mean, I can speak all day about why classical music is important and need to be preserved. Why bluegrass?
We did what I consider kind of some monumental concerts with them. We did four of them. And that pairing of those two different genres, and then we did combined pieces, people saw that it's just music. It doesn't matter what you're listening to, it's just music. And the first concert we did, there's actually a great picture that we've used quite a bit, where the string quartet came out, and they did the first part of the program, and they were dressed in blue jeans and flannels and stuff. And
overalls,
yeah. And they were really good. And then we were behind the curtain when it was our time, and they raised the curtain, and we were dressed in tuxes.
Nice.
With tennis shoes.
Though. With tennis shoes on.
It's kind of interesting, too. I mean, in today's world where people that don't seem to have the same beliefs just can't even talk to each other, don't get along. We really got along with these people, and we all kind of mingled, and I think it was very unusual to be able to do that.
Yeah, they respected our music, and of course we respected theirs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
and the audiences respected it all.
It was packed. Yeah. It was at the Orpheum, and it was packed.
There chicken wire?
No, not anymore. I think the classical music removed the chicken wire.
Yeah.
We have a couple minutes left, so before I forget, let's talk a little bit about this weekend, August 3rd, which is tonight, right?
Yes, tonight.
Icon Lounge tonight, correct? And August 4th, which is tomorrow, Friday, noon at the Old Courthouse Museum. Yes. August 4th at the Sioux River Folk Festival. Mm-hmm. That's a headliner event for that night. And then the 5th. Strawbell Winery.
Sixth Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday, yeah.
And then again on Monday at McKinnon Park for that concert. So you've got quite a weekend.
Good plug.
Lined up. There we go. Go onto our website. We'll put all those dates up there after the show. You recorded a lot of your early work in sort of a backdoor kind of way. Do you listen to any of those recordings now of how you used to play? And what do they? What sort of treasures unfold from some of the early recordings?
A lot of memories come back, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that we played then that I didn't even remember we played, you know.
I think it's also important to mention that Neil, our bass player, has remastered both of the first two albums, and he's put them into a miniature format. So the album covers are actually down to a CD size, whatever it is, 4x4 inches. And the CD is in there remastered. So we're going to have those for sale at all of the shows. And I took a couple home last night, and they're fantastic. So, really cool.
And the artwork, John was responsible for getting our first album done. And he hired...
We were all scared, and you said, let's do it.
I said, we're doing this.
But the man he hired to do that artwork, Jim Cambrone, who was well-known in Sioux Falls back then, but now he's a art professor at Yale, and he's really respected. And you can see his work in that album cover. It's amazing.
It's all hand illustrated. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. 30 seconds left. Is Sioux Falls still fun to play music in like it used to be?
I just got here. I came here from Nashville yesterday, so I don't know. I'll find out.
You brought the fun with you. Tim Coates, Tom Schaefer, and John Donahoe. With the Rocky Mountain Oyster Band, they headline the 38th annual Sioux River Folk Festival. The festival runs Friday through Sunday at Newton Hills State Park near Canton. The Rocky Mountain Oyster Band headlines Friday night's performance. For more information on this year's Folk Festival, go to the South Dakota Friends of Traditional Music website at FOTM.org. And that is our program for today. We hope that it served you. I want to say thank you to all our guests and to SDPB's Andrew Bork, Leah Cover, Steve Zwemke, Chris Loffrey, and Kara Hetland. Tomorrow on In the Moment, the 2017 Folk Off winner, Lil Red, and the Medicated Moose Band join us in Vermilion for Moment in Sound. Plus, how do you snag 25,000 followers on Instagram? Master the art of photographing the night sky. China Lockett has that story. Stay tuned from 4 here and now. From all of us at South Dakota Public Broadcasting, thank you for listening.